Interesting idea. How many are you taking out?
250.
250? You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Dalton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellon.
Hello.
And it's a special one this week because it's our 250th podcast. Well, actually, it's probably about 258 once you add in all the Christmas specials as well, that gets up to about 260. But actually, as far as our numbering is concerned, it's 250. And so, from the land of the long white cloud, we've got the first person you officially heard on the podcast, Chris Oakley.
Hello, fellas. How's it going? Nice of you to have me back again.
It's always good to hear you on here. You're actually popping up quite a bit more often now, aren't you?
I signed the contract and it said that I was allowed at least one episode a month. So, that's what I'm...
It was when we gave you the updating the Facebook page gig. I think that was part of the deal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You're letting light in on the magic now. And they're giving all these secrets away.
He went upstairs, really. He became the director of podcasting.
Yeah. Head of communications. Yeah.
Yeah. You sit up in the director's box in a suit, looking disapprovingly down on us, don't you?
Oh yes.
Actually, the way we're set up. That's exactly how it looks.
As the camera pans up to the Chris Oakley stand.
Yeah, I was going to say, the worst mistake we ever made was naming a stand after him. Because we just can't live up to that kind of hubris.
I'm just waiting for the statue to appear outside your recording studio, and that will finish everything off, really.
Speaking of statues, have you heard that they're building a statue? Do they build statues?
Well,
whatever they do with statues. They're doing a statue outside CSKA Sofia's stadium of Hristo Stoichkov.
Oh, that's lovely.
Is a really good thing. I mean, nice. Interesting, because, I mean, CSKA Sofia haven't got a pot to piss in, but they have enough to be able to erect a statue.
Yeah, that's
right. You were just Stoichkov.
You were just busily trying to avoid the word erect.
Right. Well, you know, it's not a safe word for me.
What is your safe word, Terry?
Just mind your own business.
It's a very effective one as well. but we thought, as it's a special one, we thought we'd for a change we'd actually talk about football. And Terry, you've led in there quite nicely there, but I was actually talking about a club that's remembering one of its great players. Of course, this week has seen the sad news that Johan Cruyff passed away. And one thing that you haven't been able to escape is all the lovely glowing tributes that have been on social media and on normal media as well. Chris, you must have seen quite a bit of that going around.
Yeah, to give him the tribute that he deserves, although I'm sure there's not many people that won't have failed to notice his real supreme skill that he's had over the years. Yeah, it's terribly sad. I kind of compare it almost to like David Bowie dying, but the equivalent of that in football, really, because he was a real sort of one-off, someone who had unbelievable flair and skill and was not just another footballer knocked out of the mould. I mean, he had a very distinctive style and one of those players who, when you see him on the pitch, your eyes were just instinctively drawn to him because you just wanted to see what he was going to do next. And there's not many players that you can say have that quality and that ability to really draw your attention to them at the exclusion of everybody else on the pitch. And it's sad, really, that it took something like that for people to stop for a moment and think about what he was like as a player. But he totally deserved all that attention. Yeah, he'll be sadly missed, absolutely.
Terry, it's the mythos of Cruyff is actually helped quite a bit by the fact that he almost seems to be one of the last generation of footballers where it was more about football than the man on the touchline, almost as if the players were in control of the way that football games were played. I suppose Beckenbauer is another one who was treated like that. Do you think that's... Will we ever see players like that again?
Well, that's an interesting thought, actually, because, yes, I mean, he was a leader on the pitch, but, yeah, as you say, kind of that Dutch team of the 1970s very much had its own spirit and its own desire for self-determination. and indeed like Beckenbauer's 74 team as well. Believe it or not, and it may seem like a crass comparison, but I mean, maybe a comparison would be Chelsea's Champions League winning team, where the guy on the touchline was largely irrespective. You know, it's generally considered that it was the Chelsea players that organised themselves to win that competition. Yeah. And so I would say yes. I mean, I think that maybe not with the same panache and with the same flair. It's worth pointing out, of course, that Cruyff did go on then to become a great manager and also to set up something of a legacy at Barcelona.
And Ajax.
So, I mean, his abilities as a player, his abilities in general, weren't just confined to his abilities as a player. He was a tremendous administrator and organiser and coach, tactician. So, I mean, a real football ideologue. So, you know, I mean, and to be so prodigiously talented and skilled at both disciplines is very rare indeed. And I doubt you'll see too many of those around. Usually these days you have to start as a coach really young, you know, where before, I mean, some of the better coaches coming through either didn't play very well at all or stopped early because they need to start so young these days to become great coaches.
I think he was a little bit before my time, but I think it says a lot about his ability and his influence on the game that it does kind of permeate into the later generations. I think it's fitting as well that the number of tributes that were happening across football, the minute silence that was happening in all of the games at the weekend as well was quite moving. Mm. I hear as well, I'm not sure how true this is, that Barcelona are going to rename their stadium to the Johan Cruyff.
I heard that.
Yeah, you heard that, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so that would be a big, big tribute. Mm.
Moving on, though, we're going to be talking about the relegation struggle in the Premier League. Jan, your team, Sunderland's been in the mire for a little while now. And Terry, your team has, weren't they going for Europe before Christmas?
Yes, they were, yeah. And now they're not.
And now they're not, no. Okay, then, Crystal Palace there. And, well, Chris is a West Ham supporter, and, like, Chris will be... You'll be thinking about Europe now, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm always thinking about Europe. I just want to come home. but that's beside the point. Yeah, well, it's just the most incredible turn of fortunes because the last couple of years under Sam Allardyce, what's typically happened is we've had half a good season.
Yeah.
And, we sort of started off well. And then I remember, I don't think it was last season. I think it was a season before, sort of watching Crystal Palace overtake us on the way up as we were on the way down the table. And last year, Crystal Palace doing well. And then, like now, suddenly we're not going down the table after Christmas. We're actually staying put. And not only that, but we're getting a foothold. And it's looking shock horror as if we've got an outside chance of even being in the Champions League. Frankly, I'll be perfectly happy with the Europa League. I'll take whatever I can get. but it's amazing. I mean, I could never have predicted it. I was very hesitant to sort of guess whether Slaven Bilic was going to be the man to guide West Ham onto future fortunes or not. But he's done a tremendous job. And we've got some players in as well that have consolidated his position, actual sort of decent players for the future rather than just sort of stopgap players to stop us getting relegated or whatever. So it's all looking frightfully bright and cheery. West Ham, I'm sorry if that irritates any of you, but it's not often I can make such a boast.
It probably only irritates a few Tottenham fans who are still grinding their teeth about the stadium. But then I see distracted by the fact that they're still in the title race and pretty much guaranteed Champions League football next season. I'm going to go around, actually, all three of us now and say, right, if you had a fiver on Leicester at the beginning of the season, okay, and you had your betting ticket right here, or you had your little app, right, because that's use now.
That's what the kids do. Then.
Yeah, when we're all together, all mates together, going, oh, yeah, acca. Would you be cashing out now on your Leicester bet? Come on, you put a fiver on at 5,000 to one, and your cash out now is going to be, I don't know, what, 70, 80 grand or so? What are you going to do? What do you do, Jan?
Yeah, probably cash out.
Cash out now?
Yeah.
But that's 80 grand instead of $250,000.
We've all had a good day.
Yeah.
Time to call it a day.
Terry?
Yeah, no, I think I'm saying this knowing that I didn't put any money on it.
Yeah.
So I'd say no, I'd stick it out. But I think if the truth be known, I probably would just take the wedge.
Take the wedge right now.
Take it now. Take it now, yeah.
Chris?
Yeah, take it now. Absolutely. Take the money and run.
So, just saying, so you're not convinced that Leicester are going to win?
I don't think you can be convinced of that.
That wasn't the question.
Well, yeah. It was really. It was.
People have overhauled bigger margins, even at this stage of the season.
Yeah.
So yes, it could totally not happen for Leicester yet.
I must admit, I fancy Tottenham to do it, actually.
I think that there's a very good chance. Yeah,
I do.
They're building up ahead of steam. Yeah, they're doing very well.
I mean, every week that goes by, it's like, oh, sooner or later, Leicester, and they never do.
They never do, no.
And they may never, you know. And it would be, well, I want to say it would be great, but I don't like Leicester, so... And I haven't liked Leicester for a while, and because they're winning everybody over, it doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. I mean, certainly I have a great deal of respect for what they've done, but...
Yeah.
What's caused all this animosity then, Terry, or your anti-Leicester feeling?
Was it when they went bust?
There was a bit of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in fairness, that's kind of by the by. It's a little bit more personal than that. They knocked us out of the FA Cup in the early 90s, in the last minute.
That, footballing reasons, that's good.
And that really pissed me off. Then we lost to them in the playoff final in the mid-90s. Steve fucking Claridge, as he's known locally. In the last minute of Martin O'Neill, the sneaky bastard, he substituted his goalkeeper with a minute before the end of extra time in preparation for the penalty shootout.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Leicester had a set piece. And while they were preparing to take the set piece, Martin O'Neill, this was the kind of coach he was back then, a million miles away from how he is now, he substituted his goalkeeper. And everyone just like, I swear the Palace players just like, well, what is he doing? And in the meantime, Steve Claridge scored. And the game was over anyway. Didn't go to penalties, whatever. I was at Graham's flat at the time and I fell off the chair with grief. I actually did. It wasn't a theatrical flounce.
No,
it wasn't. I lost my faculties and fell off the chair I was sitting on.
And they were good chairs.
They were nice, comfy chairs as well. There was no reason for falling off them. You know, it was awful. And I've had a problem with Leicester ever since. And I make no apologies for it.
Well, that's you go.
I mean, satisfactory answer.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy with that one, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not really that fond of Leicester myself. I acquired a new brother-in-law a couple of years ago who is from Leicester. I didn't know anything about his Leicester football following until they started winning this season, and suddenly he's the biggest fan.
Okay.
Did I mention I'm from Leicester? Oh, really? Are you?
Good.
And
good.
Now he never shuts up.
Good, strong personal reasons.
Yeah.
Is it Gary Lineker?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Not as much.
Gary Lincoln, there's a fair weather Leicester fan.
Chris Barron.
Yeah. Then next week you'll be going on about how great Tottenham are, or how great Everton are, or how great Barcelona are. Yeah, make your mind up, Gary. Come on.
I don't think you're going to say how great Everton are.
No one says that great.
No one. Nobody ever says Everton.
Oh, so who's going down then? Come on, we can make this prediction. No, this is the time we can make predictions because Chris is here.
Well, we don't make predictions here on the Sound of Football. Oh no, Chris is here, so it's
because
fine.
If Chris is here, then he has to make predictions as well.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yes, and we want objectivity when it comes to end of year reviews.
Yeah. No fancy dancy editing.
You're just getting cocky, Graham, because you got it so right last time. Oh no, it was you got it right. It was Terry who got it right. Was it in the World Cup? I seem to remember.
I don't think any of us can really claim to have got anything right back in the World Cup. Yeah. Okay, well, look, you know, I'm going to say it. I think Palace are going to get relegated.
Oh, really? You really think that?
Yeah.
That's a long way to go.
So who's the worst team in the Premier League right now?
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa.
The worst team in the Premier League right now is Crystal Palace.
Aston Villa
have taken 3 points in 2016.
Right.
Crystal Palace have taken 2 points in 2016. If it wasn't for the fact that they'd had that fantastic first half of the season, they would be lower. They would be minus bottom. They would be underneath Aston Villa, but Aston Villa would still be bottom. They would
already
be
relegated. Sort of
like they would actually be, you know, a Pools panel would have relegated them. In sheer disgust and contempt.
Yeah, you'd have people looking at that table thinking, have they gone into administration or something?
Yeah, that's right. Given a Deutsch deduction, and they're watching, looking at it on some website where their the website isn't capable of registering minus points. It's just not able to do it. And so he just sits there in this kind of sort of like slightly offset, and all the formatting is all completely messed up. Crystal Palace will be over some advert, some betting shop advert, and it's completely unjustified. And out of way, that is where Palace would be.
Unjustified Palace.
Totally unjustified Palace. So I do not know where the next 3 points are coming from, and I suspect that they're not coming until August, if we're doing well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I'm full on pessimism mode. I've started paying attention to Championship football in preparation.
You're working out some of your trips.
Yeah. Which I won't be making.
I'm thinking that. We're actually not going to be playing Brighton after all.
Yes, which for some reason makes me laugh. It's a laughter of shame and impending humiliation is what it is. So I think Palace, when I suspect, well, obviously Villa, I mean, you would think they're going to go down. And I don't know, I'm sort of torn because I think Norwich might, I think it could be Villa, Newcastle and Crystal Palace. I think Sunderland are going to turn it around, even though they haven't had that bounce that Big Sam has given them. And I think that there's a little bit more to Norwich. I think that they've just got enough to keep their noses over. Mm. But I think, it's going to be ugly.
Mm. It is.
It's going to be ugly.
It's already ugly.
Chris, what about you? Yes. What do you think for who's going to go down out of the Premier League this season?
I think Villa...
Yeah. Well done. Just a round of applause for Chris there.
Insight.
I've been studying the form, and I'm here to tell you that.
I'm writing out my betting slip now.
Newcastle. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going, and I'm not just saying this because Jan's here, but I'm saying Sunderland staying up and Norwich going down. I don't know why. I just think that Sunderland are just gritting it out week by week, and I just think Norwich's form is a little bit more erratic than Sunderland's. It's just a hunch. And I don't think there's a chance in hell Palace will go down, even though they've had such a horrific sort of calendar year so far. I just think they'll pull out a win here and there, get a couple of wins before the end of the season, and that will be enough. But had this run started earlier, then, yeah, we could be talking different set of circumstances. But I'm going Villa, Newcastle and Norwich.
Well, that is actually what I'm going for as well, actually. I agree with you. I think that Sunderland will grind out the results. Palace are having exactly the same season as Newcastle had last season, and West Ham to a certain extent as well, when they just started to plummet down the table. I think Newcastle went...
Yeah,
they went
John
about
Carver.
Eight games in a row, didn't they? Or something ridiculous like that. But then the last two games of the season, they got it because everyone was in their flip-flops, and I think so. They managed to win, and desperation creeped in. But this season, I don't think they've got it. They just don't look like a team that can put a win together at the moment. Well, Sunderland always do it. Sunderland are used to this now, aren't they? And although the manager changes every season, at least they have got some players there who do know how to get out of this mess. Mm.
Interesting, Newcastle, we're all going with for Newcastle to go down, and that's despite the fact that the former Real Madrid coach is now manager at Newcastle, and none of us have confidence that Rafa can turn this ship around.
I just don't think they're going to be that much better than everyone else down there. Really. Do you? Chris?
No, I just think it's too late. If they'd have appointed him halfway through the season or something before Christmas, then they'd have had half a chance that he could have turned it around. But essentially, he's still got the same players there, and they've just been obviously underachieving. I mean, very bold move. Don't get me wrong. I applaud their ambition in getting someone of Rafa's stature in, but I just think they've left it too late.
It all seems so temporary as well. The fact that he's joined there with a big parachute on his back. Or sat on a big ejector seat, ready to like get out at a moment's notice. And I will say, I'm not just saying that the Palace and Sunderland will stay up just to be nice, because regular listeners will know I'm just not very nice.
It
is actually a genuine feeling that I've got, and you know me, my predictions are always so great, aren't they? Yeah, come on. So come on. Are you confident, or are you
that Sunderland stay up?
Yeah.
Well. You don't bring in Sam Allardyce if you've got any kind of ambition, I think. But I think our only ambition, and has been for several seasons, is just to stay up, just to stay in the league. I think Sunderland did make the change at the right time in bringing in someone like Allardyce. So I think we have a chance of grinding it out. Interestingly, I think what we said about Rafa, it's a, as you said, Chris, bold move, but I think that that has the opportunity to be a real wild card in this pack, and I think that it could catapult Newcastle out of there. So while I don't make predictions, I wouldn't be surprised if it helped Newcastle out of a spot, because they are so in such bad form, or have been, that it would take a miracle to arrest that decline, and I think that someone with his star quality could get the best out of what are some very good players, but just not playing very well as a team.
And we all think that Swansea are safe then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've pulled together some wins recently, so they should be all right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No one else other than that. Mm.
No, it's those five, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
But I do just wonder. I mean, you talk about Allardyce having the experience with sort of relegation run-ins, and I wonder to what extent Rafa's had experience of that, and because I just wouldn't mind betting he's had no experience of. You know, going through such choppy waters in that regard.
No, but what I'd say to that is that he has experience in raising his players for the big occasion, and I mean, what a disgrace it would be for some of those players to be involved in a relegation. They went to Newcastle to make it great again. So I still think he's a bit of a wild card there. So
yeah,
The players there are good.
Yeah,
that's a mid-table team.
Yeah, definitely
Newcastle. So I mean, I think the feeling is that a good coach will get the best out of them, and that they will just make their way out of it.
Mm.
But the question is, as we all seem to agree, that he's come too late.
Yeah. So 8 games, 7 games left. Mm,
it's not long. It's not much.
Seven, I think. Yeah. Seven. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's. That is not looking good. But, yeah, I think there are still a few more twists and turns. Hang on.
Sorry, I do apologise.
It's an actual international call.
Sorry, my phone going off
there to carry on. Last game of the season, though, between Palace and Newcastle is going to be a doozy. If Palace haven't sorted out their business.
That does sound like a...
That could be pain, couldn't it?
That's at the O3 Arena, isn't it?
I believe it is at the O3 Arena.
Wow. I don't want to be going there in the last game of the season.
No, not especially not with Pardew in tow. Assuming he hasn't been sacked by that point.
And Leicester are away to Chelsea on the last day of the season.
Ooh.
So that would be rubbing Chelsea's nose in it a bit if they lift the trophy there at Stamford Bridge, wouldn't it?
Chelsea would love it if they beat them.
Oh God, this is going to be the worst thing ever. This is going to be Chelsea beating Leicester on the last day of the season and handing the trophy to Tottenham, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chris, have you got the fixtures there? Who have Tottenham got on the last day?
One moment, please. I should just tell you. I have my finger on the pulse. There we go. So Tottenham, they're away to Liverpool this weekend. Then they're at home to Manchester United. And then they're away to Stoke, at home to West Brom, and then away to Chelsea. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, home to Southampton. Last game of the season, they're away to Newcastle.
Hang on.
Where's Palace? I thought Palace were away at Newcastle in the last game of the season.
They're away to Southampton on the last game of the season, apparently.
I'll just put Chris's sound effects from Family Fortune on there. yeah, we've got Newcastle last day of the season. Oh, is that the
Yep. That's the trouble when you start talking about facts on this podcast.
Facts and stuff.
Yeah. Don't do facts, just opinion.
So, Chris, you reckon Europa League then more likely than Champions League for West Ham?
Well, yeah, in theory, on paper and all that.
It is a bonkers season, so anything could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're on a terrific run of form. I mean, it's just, excuse me if a sort of smile breaks out of my face. I'm just not used to talking about West Ham in such ways. I mean, as I say, we normally can crack out a good first half of the season, but by this stage, it's not normally going so well. But we're on a good run, and we sort of, I think West Ham feel at the moment like they're capable of beating anybody they play, even though it may not, I mean, Tottenham proved to be tricky to break down in the last game there just recently. I mean, I could be totally sort of spontaneous and sort of say, yeah, why not? We'll get into the Champions League. But I think it's going to be a tough call. And Man United, we still haven't sort of leapfrogged Man United properly yet. That we're still a bit of a two-horse race between us and them. And then if we can get beyond Man United and get a bit of breathing space, we've then got Man City ahead of us. And, of course, we all know how good they are. So I will more than happily go for a Europa League spot, but not writing off the possibility again in the Champions League. I mean, I don't even contemplate what that's going to be like, Leicester and West Ham in the draw for the Champions League.
Yeah, I think there is no coincidence about Leicester and West Ham going into the Champions League, and the fact that they announced last week that they're going to completely overhaul the structure of the Champions League so that there's more good teams in it, or more rich teams in it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was going back to a discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about the European Super League. Mm. And it looks like this is what they're actually talking about now,
right? Right.
Because they're going to expand it. They're going to bring back the two group stage thing.
Oh, for God's sake! Yeah. That was so bad.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
So you have to win the group to go through to the next group,
something like that. And I think they want to have a just an 8-team knockout section.
Yeah, I mean that is good.
Yeah,
but I mean the two group stage. So you've got a group stage. And then the top two from those groups then go into another group stage.
Yeah.
They did it for a few seasons, didn't they? They did it for one TV cycle, basically.
Yeah.
And it was garbage.
It was garbage.
And they're doing it again. Yeah. It's a kind of, that's the Champions League equivalent of the 24-team international format.
It's like the 1982 World Cup when there were two group stages there.
Yeah, that was...
That stank
as
well.
Now, yeah, I mean, for a legendary World Cup as it was, its format reeked,
frankly. Yeah, exactly. That game between Italy and Brazil, and people think of it as a semi-final. No, it wasn't. It was a second group stage game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
but you needed a group that had Italy, Brazil and Argentina in it to make it any good. That's the thing. There was another group with something like, what was it, Northern Ireland, Austria and France. I mean, didn't quite have the same panache. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it was the 80s. You know, this sort of stuff happened, wasn't it, Brian? Yeah,
that's rubbish, though. Just shoehorning in. But one assumes that this is in some kind of response to pressure from clubs.
I think what scant news there is out about the fact that it was to allow more teams from bigger leagues in. So expand it to have at least half a dozen teams from the Bundesliga, Serie A and Premier League in there.
Yeah, if I may just slightly drift away from that, there was something breaking in the news today in Germany that six teams are looking to form a breakaway television deal.
Wow.
To negotiate their TV rights separately as a block apart away from... Of which I assume Bayern are one of them, but FC Cologne or another.
Do have a lot of support.
They have a lot of support, and a very high opinion of themselves.
Well, they would, wouldn't they?
He would. You played in front of 50,000 people every bloody week. You have a high opinion of yourself.
Yeah. They have a goat on the touchline.
Indeed.
I mean, I'm sorry. You have a man walking something. A goat around the touchline. You know, this is the team that really fancies itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like he's like Bears out the Happy Mondays, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, what was the name of that player they had?
Anthony Uja, who used to manhandle the goat whenever he scored. He used to celebrate with the goat and pull its horns.
Yeah.
Like that. But my missus watched that once and she went apeshit. She went apeshit when she saw that. She demanded that guy be arrested. For manhandling Hennis the Eighth is the name of the guy. Anyway.
Look it up on YouTube, listeners.
Save Hennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hennis is fine, by the way. He lives in Cologne Zoo and he's a happy goat. He gets wheeled out.
There is no need quite yet for Hennis the Ninth.
Now, and Anthony Uja's gone to Werder Bremen, so alles gut.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not so good for the mascot, though.
I don't know who the mascot is for Werder, but I'm sure that they're keeping a wide berth.
Who knows, maybe one day he'll play for Partick Thistle, and,
It'll be a nasty surprise. That'll learn him.
And on that rather imaginative point, I think it's probably time we wound up this conversation for this week. Chris, it's been great to have you along. And listeners, if you want to hear more of Chris, you've got a new project, haven't you?
Oh, that's very decent of you to say so. Yes, yeah, no, a new podcast. It's called Attic Life Pod. If you go to... atticlifepod.blogspot.com there to plug out the way. It's basically a new podcast with myself and Rich Johnson, and we're just sort of talking about life in general. So we've done football nostalgia for 4 years, and now we thought we'd kind of open up the boundaries, and we're going to look at everything that life throws at you, from the happy stuff to the confusing stuff, the depressing stuff, and so on. So we take two topics a week, and we talk about that for an hour, and it's we've just done the second podcast. And it's all going frightfully well. So, yeah, get along and listen to that if you dare. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you've been listening to it, haven't you?
I have indeed. I've only listened to the first episode.
Yep.
I haven't listened to the second one yet. But, right. Yeah, it's on my podcatcher. Definitely. I am a subscriber to Attic Life.
Cool. So, yes.
I'm leading the Attic Life.
Well, there you go. Yes. Yeah, there is a T-shirt for you right there, isn't there?
I'll tell you, that's a good... I'm stealing that, because I've already coined the phrase get more attic life in your life. So that's the other T-shirt design I'm doing. Not as good.
Itself, isn't it, really? Yeah. So, from me, Graham Sibley, from Terry DeFillon, and from you, and from Chris Aiken, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Rensselaer breaks down for Von Hanegem. Drive, and he's all right! He's all right for number one! Johan Cruyff! 1-0 Holland! 1-0 Holland, about 10 minutes of the game gone.